So if I use some, just like this, I want to be able to be relatable to the audience. So if I use terms like nama rasa, who needs an explanation of what nama rasa means? And okay, anybody else? Okay. Nama is very simple. That's the name. It's the Sanskrit word for name, and it's English word for name. Name and nama. And rasa means taste. Not literally the taste of the tongue, like for food and things like that, but a spiritual taste for the name. So that's the theme. Awakening a spiritual taste for God's holy name, Krishna's name. And you'll see some of these images more than once. If could these lights go down, the color would look much better. A little bit more. Okay. That's great. Thanks. Two main functions with nama rasa, and one is the tongue that makes the sound, and the other is the ear that hears the sound. And you'll see this image several times. It has some symbolic significance or kind of energetic significance for me by this time. I've spoken on this topic specifically several times. And there's something about speaking on a topic more than once. It's not at all repetitively boring. It's increasingly sweet. So we'll begin. Actually, not so long ago, Badahari Prabhu and I were in even warmer climate than this in Phoenix, Arizona. And we went through some of the same material that we'll be going through with all of you. And we'll start with a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose picture is here. You know who is Prabhupada, right? So Prabhupada's spiritual master's father in the line of disciplic succession. He wrote 100 books. He raised 10 children. He was a high court judge. He was a very powerful personality. So one of his books was a song, series of songs describing spiritual life. And in the set of songs called Gitavali, there's a series of 8 songs. This is song number 2. Where he is offering submission, I fall at your feet. There's the word nama again. I'm looking at our friend here. That's Hari is the name of Krishna. Hari, nama, the name of Hari. Oh, name of Hari, no name of Krishna. I'm submitting myself unto you. So it's submission in devotion. So the words will appear on the screen, and we're going to follow Badahari, who sings this song so nicely.
Oh. was told a different song, but okay.
Oh, you're so, prepared for a different song?
The
same one as the feeling.
I'll do my best.
You know this one, though. There's another one coming up later. Not tonight. Tomorrow.
Jaya Jaya Hari Nam Chidanandam Ritadam Parhatatva Aksharakara Jaya Jaya Hari Nam Chidanandam Ritadam Paratattva Aksharakara Jaya Jaya Hari Nam Chiranandam Ritadam Paratattva Aksharakara Hari Nama Chirana Jajane kripa kori namarupe avatari jive daya kori leya pada nijajane kori Namarupe Avatari Jive Daya Jaya Hari Krishna Ram Jagajana Sudhi Sham Sabhajana Manasaranjan Jaya Hari Krishna Sabhajana Manasaranjan Jaya Hari Krishna Ram Jagajana Subhisham Sabhajana Manasaranjan Jaya Hari Krishna Suvesha Sadhaja Manasaranjana Munhi Vrinda Jena mena samada Kori gai Kori avandana Jena mena samada Krishna Namaksham Tumi Sava Shakti Dham Jiva Kalyana Vitara. Oh, hey, Krishna Namaksha Tumi Savasati Dha Jivena Kalyana Vitara. Asayacha Jiva Hudarane Thoma Vina Bhava Sindhu Udharite Dahi Panandu Asayacha Jiva Udharane Achata Pajiva Jata Tumi Sabha Paro Adha Helaya Tomare Ekabha. Jadi khana jan haye dina kinchan nahi deke anya pratika. Svapasputi Pai Udratapa Dure Jai Linga Bango Hoyanaya Se Padure Jai Vrindavan.
Transported to the spiritual world through sound. The title, the theme, Awakening Namarasa, it's embedded in this song. We'll hear the translation of the song shortly, but I'm little pause first and going back to the theme itself. The theme itself is going to be based upon one text from one of Rupa Goswami's writings. Rupa Goswami, our friend here. You know who is Lord Chaitanya? A little bit? You guess a little bit. Okay. Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya is the one who gave us and popularized the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. In a short while, we're going to be observing his birthday, like Christmas, you know. So, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya, coming soon. He had many awesomely elevated spiritually powerful personalities who were his close associates, and chief number one amongst them was Rupa Goswami. And two of Rupa Goswami's writings were translated by Srila Prabhupada. And we're, this whole weekend together, we're going to focus on one of the verses from this one, Upadeshamrita, which we know as nectar of instruction. Upadesh means instruction. And amrita, nectar. So the verse is this one. We'll recite this together many times, so let's start now. We'll recite it together. Follow along. Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapya Vidya Pito Papatta Rasanasya Rochikano Quintadarad Anudinam Kalo Saiva Jushta Svadhi Mad Bhavatitad Gudamola Hantri. And the translation: the holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. That's this word up here. Sita, sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, or ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue. That's the nama rasa, the taste of the name. And his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Now those of you, the few of you that are not from India or from Indian families may not know, but Ayurvedic cure or treatment for jaundice, which is a liver disease, is sugar candy or rock candy or misri. There's a picture of what it looks like. You can make it in your home. And because of time, I'll... How many here have had jaundice? Okay, me too. And I can verify, because I heard that Prabhupada say that the medicine recommended for jaundice is this one, sugar candy, rock candy, and it tastes bitter. I can verify. But it's not bitter, it's concentrated sweet. But because of the disease of jaundice, it tastes bitter. So what do? You keep taking the rock candy, and gradually the jaundice condition, there's other things to do also, the jaundiced condition reduces, and the natural sweetness you can taste. That gives you an indication, besides your fever is subsiding and other things, that the rock candy, the sugar candy, the sita, tastes sweet. It doesn't, so this is a metaphor. Similarly, the condition of the living entity is we're influenced by the jaundice-like condition of avidya. Avidya. Vidya means knowledge, and avidya means lack of knowledge or ignorance. We'll visit this again, this jaundice of avidya. Visit the teaching about how to deal with it. But the sweetness of the name, during the little reminder for those of you that were with us last year, this was our topic last year, the theme of the seven excellences of chanting the holy name, this is Shikshastika 1. And when we go further into the excellences of the name, the holy name, there's this Ambudi. Ambudi is the Sanskrit word for an ocean. And Ananda Ambudi is an ocean of Ananda. And those who wish to experience the ocean of Ananda, the real sweetness of the name, the process of bhakti is there. And when that process of bhakti matures, it comes to the prema stage. That's the mature stage, when the sweetness is tasted. There's a very nice reference. There's another picture of Rupa Goswami, by the way, the author of this text that we're speaking about. One of his other books is Padyavali. In Nectar of Devotion, he says that this stage of prema derides even the conception of liberation. That's the topmost stage of prema. It derides even the conception of liberation. Liberation meaning you're finished with material existence. You're liberated. Prema is so sweet, so wonderful. Who needs liberation? So there's a nice text that Rupa Goswami puts in Padyavali, another one of his writings, which is a series of wonderful verses taken from here and there to give the teachings of pure consciousness. So this particular one, text 28, is a reference by Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami is a great commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. Here's his verse. O Lord, is your impersonal spiritual effulgence not always present everywhere? Even so, it has not been able to break even a single small leaf from the tree of repeated birth and death. On the other hand, the moment your holy name is taken by the tongue, it thoroughly shatters the tree of birth and death down to its roots. Of these two, the spiritual effulgence or the holy name, which should be served? Such nectar is in the holy name that the attraction for the temporary fades into insignificance. One of the Chaitanya Charitamrita verses that a few years ago I was a brahmachari, and during my brahmachari days, every morning after Mangal Arti and after Tulsi Puja, we would say this verse. So it's kind of embedded in my cells. Bahu janma kari yadi shravana kirtana tabuna paya krishna pade prema dana, which means if one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead. That is the ultimate goal of this chanting. So this avidya, or ignorance, that's the jaundice-like condition of the living entity, is exacerbated or made worse by offenses. Ignorance and offense. And offense deepens and darkens the ignorance. So in the purport of this verse, it's, as you can see, you can look it up later. I'll be referring to it again. It's become, the message I'm about to share with you has become part of my daily chanting since July 2018. So there's a, I'm speaking from my heart. This is a wonderful message. In the purport of this verse, there's another Rupa Goswami reference, this time from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Srila Prabhupada quotes, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukihi Jivadao Svayameva Sparatyata. Realizing God is not easy, but it's made possible by controlling the tongue, which starts with tasting and vibrating. That's the two functions of the tongue. And when the tongue is engaged in that way properly, then the other senses can be controlled. And when the senses are controlled, it becomes possible to realize God, but otherwise not possible. Here's Prabhupada's translation. Thank you. Because Krishna's form, qualities, that's not it. Yes, it is. Because Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, etc. are all on the absolute platform, material senses cannot therefore appreciate them. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified, and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. To understand who, say it backwards, to understand who Krishna really is, there's two main things from this evening's class. Service to the name. If you want to know who Krishna really is, not just be pious, be spiritual, and all those nice things, but if you want to know who Krishna really is, the message is, in this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita and the previous one, which I'm going to read a little bit, it's service to the name. So hopefully this message will, you'll hear it from me enough times that you'll remember it when we come to Sunday's 64 round day, and it can become part of your experience of the holy name is the mood of service to the name. And the other message is the mood of service to the name is effective because the name and the person aren't different. We're going to hear some more about that tomorrow. But in principle, the name and the person named are not different. Spiritual sound is like that. For example, here's a chair. And the word chair and the object chair are different. I can't sit on the word. I can sit on the object. But in the spiritual realm, spiritual sound and the object named are the same. The sound, Krishna, and the person with spiritual form, his svarupa, his spiritual form, it's right in the song that was sung. His spiritual form and his name are none different. So we want to awaken our love for Krishna, serve the name, and that's the doorway for entering into love for Krishna. And through love for Krishna, we can understand him. That's what the Prabhupada's translation of this verse says. It's the means to realize who Krishna really is. Nice. I'll say it again. I don't mind. Because for emphasis. Two things. Serve the name. And the name and the person are non-different. So our eternal relationship with God, our eternal relationship with Krishna, is one of loving service. To awaken that, most effectively, serve the name. So a little sharing with you. Personal. When I was preparing for this for the first time, every day, it was an absorption in what, you know, how people ask the question, like, what does Prabhupada really mean when he says, serve the name? Like, how do you do it? Well, you find out how you do it by doing it. It's a mood of there's the one to be served. That's the name. And we're chanting the name. We're in a relationship with the name. Who is not? So the other part is the name and the person are non-different. Serve the name. Call the name. Speak the name. Vibrate the name. And hear the name in the mood of serving the name. The sound vibration. Who is non-different than Krishna? In his fullness, with all of his spiritual potency, all of his form, all of his activities, all of his loving dealings, everything is there in that sound vibration. Krishna in his fullness is there. Serve Krishna. So my experience is, by striving to become absorbed like that, it happens. I met a Chinese PhD student yesterday at University of Maryland. And he came just because one of his colleagues is a practicing devotee, another Chinese person. He knew nothing about nothing. And he just came for out of social courtesy to his friend. So we had this little discussion. It was just a courtesy, curiosity kind of discussion. So I asked him, I said, this is not a, it's not a belief, it's a science. I said, do you exercise? He said, yeah. Do you jog? He said, how did you know? So when you started jogging, you probably were out of breath quickly. But you continued jogging and jogging and jogging, and then gradually you got, you know, the ability to run some distances and not be out of wind. And now if I tried to do that, I'd be panting and wheezing. because, you know, you have practice. So supposing you practice mantra meditation and your mind gradually becomes focused on that sound vibration, and I didn't add, but I'm adding for your sake, in the mode of serving the name. It becomes like, you know, breathing. Not even like brushing your teeth, but, you know, breathing. It becomes part of your being. And when your being is service to the name, it carries over to all the other things that you do. You name it. Brush your teeth, or cook in the kitchen, or go to school, or go to the office, or be with the family, or etc. Service to the name means service to Krishna. And that's it becomes at the center of your consciousness through the most effective way of having that enter into the center of your consciousness is through the name. That's Namarasa. In the beginning, the taste isn't there because of avidya. So, however, the medicine for that avidya is the name. Most effective. There may be other medicines that assist that medicine, but it's the most effective medicine. Whatever else you may do, do that one. That's a big... if you want to maintain enthusiasm, because that's another teaching of Rupa Goswami, Utsahan, you have to know, like, why is it important? So, another sharing, if you don't mind. I like interacting with college students, so a lot of my anecdotal things are with having to do with college students. I was traveling not so long ago from Los Angeles to Chicago, and on the plane, half of the plane was students from University of Alabama. They had just gone to the national championship game and they lost. So they were kind of sad, but they were like all from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Maybe from Texas, you know where that place is. Most people in America never heard of it. Tuscaloosa. And the person next to me, college student, saw me dressed like this, and very polite, you know, halfway through the flight, he said, "Do you mind if I ask, do you meditate?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I really want to learn more about meditation." Fast forward, this bhakta Joe has now established a club at Tuscaloosa on mantra meditation, you know, mantra meditation. So he said, you ever heard of such and such meditation? I couldn't catch what it was. Three times I still couldn't catch what it was. Where'd you learn about it? Google? Google Guru. So then I was sharing with him the effect of mantra meditation compared to any other meditation, rather than asking him what that other meditation was. He said, "My experience is, through this dat-dat-dat meditation, I can experience there's, I don't know how to describe it." And I said, "The place of higher consciousness." He said, "Yeah. But I don't know how to stay there, because after the meditation..." So you have to take shelter, not just slow the process down, the mind, but take shelter. And that shelter, the best form is mantra. How do I learn more about mantra meditation? So he's like a sponge and he's eager to receive. He's still eager. It's, we're setting up a course to help Bhakta Joe and other people that want mantra meditation to learn. But, you know, in his case, you know, the why was he wants to learn more. And why he wants to learn more, he wants to stay in that place of higher consciousness. So for us, I think Guru Bhakti is going to help us tomorrow, right? With this Sankalpa message tomorrow? Yeah. So Sankalpa has to do with your intention. So Bhakta Joe has his intention. We talked together about what mine was, and each one of us may have a particular intention, like, why'd you come? Besides, you wanted to hear Badahari's kirtans. Why have you come to a japa retreat? What's your expectation? What's your intention? And the more that that's focused, the more effect there is going to be in your experience. It's like a magnifying glass. Some of you may have done this when you were kids. I did. Got a magnifying glass, and I learned how the light of the sun can be focused if you hold the magnifying glass at a certain angle and a certain distance from something that's combustible, like a piece of paper. The light gets really focused, and the paper starts to smoke, and it bursts into flame. It's because the light of the sun, which is everywhere, can become very, very concentrated by that magnifying glass held at the right angle in the right way. Sankalpa works like that. There's the name that has so many potent, all of God's potencies invested in it. And Sankalpa helps you become very focused. So knowing why you're here, what's your intention, you know, in this weekend specifically, or the broader period of time, your lifetime, or this year, or something like that. When chanting, try it during our the kirtan sessions we have, or your japa tomorrow morning. Ask yourself again and again and again, because as consciousness becomes purified, the intention also becomes purified, becomes refined, becomes sharper, more focused. And then the effect, the taste for the holy name, will start to increase when that why is strong. And then the what, that's what we do. That's the practice itself. And in the practice itself, Rupa Goswami also teaches, there's this desire, the mood of Krishna should be pleased. That's what this Sanskrit phrase means in short. Krishna should be pleased. That's serving the name. Krishna should be pleased. There's some detail, but another time. Very important phrase. Very important phrase. And the message for this evening is, from Rupa Goswami's teachings, it's the mood of service. That's the how. But the how, you'll stay focused with the how if you have a very clear why. And what? Krishna is to be pleased. It's not about us, it's about Krishna should be pleased. And that's the path of yoga. The path of bhakti yoga takes us to Krishna. The whole of the yoga system is to bring us there, to Krishna. All systems of yoga, I was speaking about this at the university yesterday evening, all systems of yoga require some process of meditation. Not only Bhakta Joe from Google Guru had some meditation. All yoga systems have it. And the perfection of that yoga meditation is samadhi. So listen carefully. I'll try to say it slowly. And you can look it up later from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6. There, Krishna is describing samadhi, which is the topmost stage of the Eightfold Yoga system, besides the asanas that people do when they go to yoga class. And the pranayama, they sometimes learn that in yoga class. Keep going and keep going and keep going, and you become to the stage of samadhi. And Krishna describes it, what it is, what it looks like. And the reason I'm making this reference, it's nama rasa, it's the taste. Awakening nama rasa is through the name, we can pass through these preliminary stages up to and beyond the stage of nirvana. That sounds pretty high, but the stage of nirvana, that's a phrase used in Buddhism, that's the goal of Buddhism. Nirvana. Nirvana means cessation of material activity. Read Prabhupada's purport a few times, maybe five times or more, and you'll embedded in that purport is, from chanting the holy name, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, that's nirvana. The heart becomes cleansed and the blazing fire of material existence is extinguished. Prabhupada writes, that's equivalent to nirvana. Now if you're a Buddhist, that's it. And if you're on the path of yoga, keep going beyond nirvana. What's beyond nirvana? According to, read carefully that purport, svarupena vyavastati. Sva means one's own, and rupa means form. So the form of the living entity, in his permanent situation, in his spiritual position, engage in eternal loving service to Krishna after he gives up the changeable, gross and subtle material bodies. That translation is taken directly from the Bhagavad Gita purport. A nice example, classic example, is Narada Muni, who's pictured here. Again, for those of you who are new, Narada Muni is describing his previous lifetime to his student and disciple Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. So in his previous life he was an insignificant nobody, didn't even know who his father was. He was assisting his mother as a young boy, taking care of travelers who would stay at an inn or residential place during the rainy season. In the course of associating with those saintly people, he heard, he learned, he accepted the remnants of their food, he became sanctified, they gave him mantra to chant in the process of the Eightfold Yoga system to practice, and they left. And then his mother died. She was bitten by a snake going to get water from the well one morning. And so here's a little boy, no mother, no father. He's an orphan. But he had knowledge. Avidya was removed by the association of these saintly people. So he lived his life absorbed in his mantra, and at the end of his life, his svarupa, his spiritual form, manifested. It was existing prior to that because it had been developed, but when the mortal coil, when the gross and subtle material bodies were given up, that spiritual form became fully manifest. So the process that we have been given is very sublime. It takes us beyond material existence into the spiritual realm, for which we have no taste, but the wonder of this name is it acts like curing the disease of avidya. And so taste gradually awakens. So now we're going to hear, there's a recording, and I hope it works, of someone giving a dramatic reading of this song we heard Badahari sing, Jai Jaya Harinam. And I hope it works.
Absolute Truth, who possesses an eternal form of sacred syllables, has descended in the form of the Holy Name. Thereby, he shows mercy to his own devotees while showering boundless compassion upon all fallen souls. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is called by different names such as Hari, Krishna, and Rama. He is the auspicious resting place of all living entities within the universe, and he delights the minds of all souls. Wise sages maintain great reverence for his holy name and constantly sing it by filling their mouths with the sound. O Lord Krishna, in the form of name syllables, you possess all supreme powers and are engaged in bestowing pure auspiciousness upon the living beings. Without you, there is no other friend to rescue us from the ocean of material existence. You have come for the deliverance of all fallen souls. For all souls within this world, there is much misery and sorrow. Oh, Harinam, if someone calls upon you just once, feeling himself very meek and lowly, possessing nothing, and seeing no other remedy for his relief, you then easily destroy all his sorrows. If one simply obtains a faint glimpse of your actual identity, then all sorts of terrible miseries are cast far away. Indeed, the very form of suffering itself is easily broken to pieces. Bhaktivinod says, all glories to the holy name of Lord Hari. Oh, Harinam! Oh, Harinam! I perpetually fall to the ground in hope of attaining the lotus feet. Oh, Harinam! I perpetually fall to the ground in hope of attaining your lotus feet.
the beautiful song and the message explicitly captures the same message I want to share this evening, so I'll just emphasize it again. The name possessing these two syllables. The syllables, that's the name, and the name is a person. And the person is none different than the source of everything. That's the nature of the absolute realm, and we're not accustomed to the absolute realm. We're accustomed to the relative world of duality. But by mercy, we're being given a connection with the absolute realm through the sound. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, realizing this, wishing to take deeper and deeper and deeper shelter, receiving mercy and being in service to the merciful name. Now we'll come back to reality, and generally speaking, we chant in a manner that's distracted. We would like distraction to disappear. Easier said than done. One of the best ways to help have distracted chanting disappear is attention. And what drives attention is intention, or sankalpa, the why that we saw before. And Jiva Goswami is telling us, Prabhupada is writing again, the intention of serving the holy name. I'm going to read from that Bahu Janma Yadi Shravani Kirtana purport. It's a long purport. It speaks about the 10 offenses, but here's relevant to our topic. To associate with the holy name and to chant the holy name is to associate with the personality of Godhead directly. The holy name becomes Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is clearly said, Sevan Mukhihi Jivadao Svayameva Swaratyada, that verse that you made reference to. The holy name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the holy name. One must engage his tongue in the service of the holy name. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We try to engage all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement in the service of the holy name. And we heard the translation that Prabhupada gave. In this way, Krishna can be actually understood, factually understood. Who are we, these little specks, to understand the unlimited? But to the degree that there is capacity to understand the unlimited by the limited, it's by disclosure. And that disclosure comes to one who is in this mood of service to the name. It's very simple. You just have to, like this Chinese PhD student does his jogging, we have to practice and cultivate what's really natural for us, the mood of service to the name. And then with that intention, Nama Prabhu becomes revealed. The person and the name being none different becomes revealed. When that intention is there, attention follows. Here's an illustration. To me, it says everything. There's some of you in the audience, I'm sure you cook. And so when you cook, you put the ingredients into a cooking pot, and you put the cooking pot by the fire, and you start to cook. But supposing the pot is 6 feet up in the air, it can take a long time to cook. The closer you bring the pot to the flame, You want good flame, but you bring the pot closer to the flame and you'll be able to do the cooking. So this cooking is self-realization. We want to have a nice big serving of self-realization in our life. So the closer our attention is to the Maha Mantra, the sooner our consciousness becomes purified. So the buzzword in the marketplace these days, not only spiritual marketplace, the marketplace, is mindfulness. The mindful manager, mindful eating, mindful walking, mindfulness. It's lost its the deeper meaning by public usage. But that mindfulness specific to meditation, specific to mantra meditation, is attention. And in attention helps bring attention, and the distracted chanting can disappear. And then it helps us understand that the name, Abhinna, Tvan, Nama, Namino, the name and the person aren't different. The form of Krishna and the name of Krishna are non-different. We'll hear Sunday morning Bhakti Siddhanta giving some teaching about this. I'll say it quickly. This ear and this mind cannot grasp the name and the person are non-different. But the ear can. If we hear, we can have the full realization that the name and the person are non-different. But you have to hear with that rapt attention, or he calls it the spiritual ear. You know, like this, the third eye. Then you can see Krishna in the sound of his name. Sounds mystical, right? It's a mystical process in one sense. But Krishna's teaching is that in each and every one of his names, he personally appears. That's Nama Prabhu. This is taste, awakening, Nama Rasa, taste for the person. Actually, the holy name never comes from the mouths of the Mayavadis. For although the syllables may be heard, Nama Prabhu, with all of his transcendental potency, does not reside there. Another reference. One cannot chant the holy name of Lord Krishna purely in the company of non-devotees. The sound and syllables of the name may be uttered, but that is not real chanting. Prema Vivarta, Jagatananda. So what's real chanting? Prabhupada's explanation in the Bhagavad Gita class in 26 Second Avenue, explaining about chanting. It's a call to Krishna, please accept me. Lord Chaitanya taught that we should simply cry and we shall simply pray for accepting us, that's all. So this vibration is simply a cry for addressing the Supreme Lord, requesting Him, please accept me. Please accept me. I want to be again in my relationship with you. I have forgotten you. I walked from our relationship. You didn't leave me. I left you. And I had a bad experience. And I want to be back with you again. I'm disqualified, I'm rotten, fallen, puffed up, bad person. I can only appeal for your kindness, please accept me. Please accept me. So in this way, chanting is a form of prayer, it's a call for being connected in service to Krishna once again. To become the humble servant of Nama Prabhu. That's this idea I'm trying to help massage a bit the idea of service to the name. When I made this presentation in July in Chicago, one of the persons in the audience expressed, well, I know the person, they say they're visual, so this is what they sent to me. This is their text. On the top is them speaking to the name, to Krishna. I'm sorry, I'm out of service, I'm broken, I don't work. Krishna's reply, that's okay, it doesn't matter. I'm here for you. Just hear me. The submission, this in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song that we sang together. One is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he considers himself an eternal servant of the Holy Name. And in that spirit distributes the Holy Name to the world. We're small. We're tiny. But together we can do something very wonderful. Just like gathering together and having kirtan together. And gathering together, and as we'll be doing, focusing particularly on Sunday, 64 rounds together. Many of you chant in your homes, and the opportunity to chant together in the assembly of devotees is not your daily experience. You're going to have a nice experience. I'm looking forward to it myself. Some persons have come from faraway distances to be with us to have this experience. Some of you are just local people. Join the party. And then give that same opportunity to others. That's also very joyful. That's a service. Be a servant of the name. The image is Lord Nityananda trying to give the name to two drunkards who then smashed his head with a clay pot, and he just pleaded with him, that's okay, chant Krishna's name. Lord Chaitanya was ready to finish them, but Lord Nityananda pleaded on their behalf. Mother Teresa, well-known personality. Don't think for love to be genuine it has to be extraordinary. Do small things with great love. It's in the small things that our strength lies. So here's a small thing. Krishna, the name. Just one name. So Prabhupada instructed one of his disciples very early in the Hare Krishna movement. Every time if you're chanting, this devotee was chanting 16 rounds. Every day you have 25,000 opportunities for perfection. Just chant one name with full attention. Perfection. Everything is there. And if not today, then the next day. Keep striving like that. Striving. Even in the small things, done with great feeling and attentiveness and consciousness. Very, very effective. Sometimes there's a doubt. I've heard it raised, therefore I'm presenting it. Is it okay to approach and restore our original relationship with Nama Prabhu directly? In other words, are we not jumping over the spiritual master to do that? And the answer is no. It's by the mercy of the spiritual master that we have the name and we have the process of chanting the name. And so we require that mercy as well as we require some endeavor. This is the Bhagavad Gita verse speaking about the factors of action. So endeavor is one. But without mercy, endeavor isn't going to be successful. We're instructed to take shelter following the instruction. We're not jumping over. Endeavor executed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness is called Utsaha, or enthusiasm. Almost done. A little sharing. This is next to the last image. A little sharing for me is on the line of this evening's discussion. On a number of occasions, hearing Srila Prabhupada's recorded lectures, I heard him say something that I was curious to understand more carefully. The living entity is both conscious and consciousness. It sounded really cool, but I didn't know what he meant. And when I heard him say it again and heard him say it again, I understood it was something he wanted us to understand, and I knew I didn't understand it. So I kept pondering it and eventually came across a reference. And the reference is from the Upanishads. Jiva Goswami pointed it out, where the statement is, it's a metaphor, just like a lamp is both luminous and it lights up things in the room like pots and plates. So similarly, the living entity is both conscious and consciousness. So we're conscious. The desk isn't conscious, the chair isn't conscious, the floor isn't conscious. The body, only because of the soul being present, is conscious. But the body isn't conscious. It's the soul that's conscious, and then consciousness expands. For example, I can hear the air conditioning fan. I can see the lights behind the panels and across the ceiling, but these nice illustrations. So the auditory, visual, etc. Consciousness extends out from the conscious self. So the name is an opportunity for us to extend our consciousness to Krishna in his most accessible form, sound form, nama rupa, the form of the name. It's right in the song of Bhaktivinoda that we sang together. That's what, to connect our consciousness with Krishna is Krishna consciousness, and the medium is the mood of service to the name. And the name and the person are non-different. And when that becomes complete, then the gift of Lord Chaitanya has been received. It's a gradual cultivation to come to the stage of awakened Krishna consciousness, serving the name, and the name and the person are non-different. And then your whole life becomes service to the name, service to Krishna, complete absorption, starting with the name. I'm supposed to end. Can we turn the light on? The other classes will be shorter, I promise you. This one is kind of like a lot. And I thought of eliminating some things, but I was too attached to all those things, so I didn't. One of the best parts is discussion. And we don't have so much time for discussion. Let's see if there's some questions or topics somebody wants to bring up. Yeah. He can easily destroy all his sorrows. Could you hear what he said? No. Read it slowly.
Okay. So the fourth stanza, translation of that song that Prabhu sang. If someone calls upon you just one time, feeling himself very meek and lowly, possessing nothing and seeing no other remedy for his relief, you then easily destroy all his sorrows. So my question is, I understand feeling lowly and meek. Can you elaborate on the possessing nothing part?
Yes. Glad to. Akinchana. It's a word that's used in Kunti's prayers twice. And Akinchana doesn't mean a Nagababa. Akinchana means I know that everything belongs to Krishna. You have a house. You have a car. You picked me up in the car. Brought me back from the airport to the temple. So you have possessions. But akinchana means this is Krishna's property. He's the proprietor. And I am utilizing Krishna's property in Krishna's service. It's something like, very much like, the servant of the king in the king's palace. The servant of the king in the king's palace is wearing royal-looking attire and eating royal food and, you know, lives in the same palace as the king. But he's a servant of the king. So we're Krishna's servants. And we should see that which we would otherwise be thinking as mine, it's Krishna's. This is the spirit soul, my wife and my children. These are Krishna's spirit souls. His parts and parcels entrusted to me to give care and service to for the pleasure of Krishna. And then so that's in the category of mine, my wife, my children, my home, my everything. So manasa deha geha, that. You know that song? Same. What I previously was thinking to be mine, it's yours. It may have my name on the title of the house and the bank account, but it's yours. It's yours and meant for your service. That's akinchana. No material sense of possessiveness. My one possession is Krishna, my relationship with Krishna. Okay? Akinchana. I see two hands. Unfortunately, it's two different people.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned about all the yogas, they have meditation in it.
Yes.
And then you also spoke about samadhi, which is... Yes. You also spoke about samadhi, which is the eighth process of the Ashtanga Yoga.
Yes.
So I have a question.
You have a good memory.
In order... I have a short of memory, but I may say something wrong, but please correct me.
But you're doing good so far.
So, in order for me to get a taste of Krishna's name, do I need to perfect any of these eight processes of Ashtanga Yoga?
Well, can we take care of the ring back? One way to answer your question is yes, and another way is no. And the yes is, if you have $1 million, you also have $10 and $100. So by perfecting the chanting of the name, you have perfected the others. So you don't need to perfect the others, or the others are included within the one. So whether we do any of those things or not, has a lot to do with faith. Prabhupada did not teach us. I mean, I don't do yoga. I don't do the asana part of yoga. I do bhakti yoga. Because within bhakti yoga, everything is there. When I meet college students these days, or other than college students, young people that do yoga, they're like, what? No, I never practiced yoga. Huh? Like, you know, you got a hole in your head, man? Like, you're doing bhakti and you don't do yoga? But it's, you know, Prabhupada didn't, you know, some devotees do. It's not like they're to be scolded because, but it's not essential. May it be helpful? If it's helpful, take something that's helpful. But don't let your faith get distracted from this is helpful to get, because otherwise you can get another dependency and another kind of faith. Is that okay? Yes. Here's the microphone. Stand up, it's good. We can see you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned in the last part of your class, you mentioned Jiva is both conscious as well as possesses consciousness.
That's nice, isn't it?
It's very nice, but I'm still not able to get my head around what it means.
Okay. The ring back, he'll take care of, right? So, the main message is, I'll elaborate, but the main message is, mantra meditation is to connect our faculty of consciousness with Krishna through sound. We're conscious entities, and we are consciousness. And our consciousness connecting with Krishna is Krishna consciousness through sound. And then nama, rupa, guna, lila, everything, just through sound. To me it's important because coming from a science background, there's this whole blah blah thing about there isn't consciousness. All there is matter and the laws that govern matter, and that's all there is. Consciousness is matter and the laws governing matter. There isn't a separate thing. The living entity is conscious and consciousness. That which spreads through the body is consciousness, and it emanates from the conscious entity. And they're the same. They're not two distinct entities. It's one entity, conscious and consciousness. The sun and the sunshine. And Krishna consciousness is to extend consciousness not just to the temporary configurations of matter hoping for happiness through sense gratification, it's transcendental consciousness, consciousness of Krishna. That's a faculty that's in our power. Okay? I'll share one more thing. How I found that reference is in Jiva Goswami's writings. In his Tattva Sandarbha, he covers a little section where he is refuting Buddhism, a brand of Buddhism that although Shankaracharya drove the Buddhists out of India, we hear that over and over, there was still a brand of Buddhism present. Tattva Vijnana Buddhism, it was called. You find that in Gopi Puranadana's purports. And they say no consciousness. And Jiva Goswami refutes it on scriptural authority and logic and reason, both. And that's one of the scriptural references. Huh. Yeah. Microphone up here. Who's our timekeeper? We need to stop so we can take prasadam.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So when you were describing about your experience with the students from Tuscaloosa, you mentioned about the student saying place of higher consciousness through meditation, if you couldn't stay there.
Yes.
And Dr. you also Joe. Mentioned that we need to take shelter.
Yes.
To be at the place of higher consciousness. Can you define that place of higher consciousness?
Well, because of course I use that phrase for new people because who knows where they're, when you push their button, their discomfort button. So it's just a phrase. That's why I'm explaining why I use that phrase. The place of higher consciousness. Yeah, I can relate to that. So to describe it is Krishna Loka. A place of eternity, knowledge, and bliss in loving exchange according to our particular relationship with Krishna, our rasa. And it's awakened through nama rasa. Because that's Krishna. Everything is there. This is from Harinam Chintamani. Haridas Thakur teaches, when we become proficient in being fully attentive to the name, the form, I think I heard Badahari explain this. It's not, it might have been somebody else, but recall. It's not just the name suddenly reveals the form. The name has form. The name is form. The form is the name. The name is the form. And that becomes disclosed to us. The form of the name. Krishna, the form of Krishna. And the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, it's all packed up in this little name. That's the singularity that went kaboom. The spiritual world is revealed to us through that one, that sound vibration. Everything. The holy name is everything. Does that help? Goloka Vrindavan.
So it is revealed.
This is the place of higher consciousness. Okay. Somebody's got a hand? Okay. And then you're going to do the wrap up next? You're going to MC? You're going to Chirag? Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj, and thank you for the class. Maharaj, my question is talked about Bahujanma Kare Yadi Srivana Kirtana Tabutana Paya Krishna Pade Premadhana. So I was thinking, Maharaj, so there is a hope that if we don't commit any offenses, we may get Krishna love and we, but at the same time, we are so much conditioned, I mean, at least I am, and I don't see if there is any hope that I won't commit any offense. This is like our day-to-day affair or my day-to-day affair. So how, or what is the hope for a person like me who's like, can overcome offenses? It's like what I'm trying to say is, no matter what, whatever you try, but this offenses doesn't go away from our life. We keep doing no matter what. We keep judging people. We keep, I don't know what to say, but can you just elaborate on that? Thank you.
Sure. Prabhupada Kripa. We need lots of mercy. There he is, our founder Acharya. Please take. And he's representing Lord Chaitanya. Please take. But I'm not qualified. That's okay. Please take. I mean, just like that, black and white image. You remember that one? I'm broken. I'm trash. I'm not eligible. That's okay. I know who you are. Please accept me. Please accept my mercy anyways. That's Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and his associates. Prabhupada knew very well the audience he was addressing. And he gave anyways. So just, you know, open your heart and say yes. Instead of, well, I'm not, you know, it's this, the hill is too tall to climb. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, one who has implicit faith in Lord Chaitanya, even he is a lame man. He can climb mountains. Even a blind man can see the stars in the sky. Even a fool can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedas. Mercy. But I'm not qualified. That's okay. Take the mercy anyways. Huh? So you try to overcome the offenses, and Krishna will help you. That's how it works. That was one of the slides. We have to make some endeavor, and we're dependent upon mercy. It's not just dependent upon your effort. You have to make effort, but my effort is insufficient. That's the message. I got it. You need mercy. Do this. Mercy. And keep making effort. Don't become complacent. Come on, you're merciful. I'm waiting for your mercy. What's wrong with you? Hurry up. Get your mercy going. I ordered some mercy half an hour ago and it hasn't come yet. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.